Log Talk Radio.
Sports. It's what inspires all school children to believe that they are the best in the world.
Well, I'm the best corner of the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you want.
Through all the ups and all the downs.
Down goes Frazier. And down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
And now, what you've all been waiting for all week, it's Saturday Night Sports with me, your host, the captain, along with Brother X, Seth, and the one and only Coach Viper!
Holy shit, it's Viper!
Now sit back and enjoy the one thing that really matters to Americans, and that is sports! Program. I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise. We're now on Saturdays. We forget about all the evil in the world, and there's been a lot of it. But see, we don't talk about it here. We talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. Now, we do have some stuff to talk about tonight. Obviously, we've got the NFL schedule that has come out. Day one, and I'm going on the record. Seth, I know Seth is listening. Doc may show up tonight. I hope he does. I hope he calls in. And Doc, if you are listening and you didn't get the number, it should be on the thing. Anyway, the phone number to call in tonight, 563-999-NINER. I love saying Niner. 3496, 563 9-9-9-3-4-9-6. Well, I'm going right now, put it in the book. I'm already putting it down. NFL picks, Thursday night, game opener. Opener of the season. The first game played, Detroit in Kansas City. And I'm telling you right now, the Detroit Lions are going to upset the Kansas City Chiefs. They're going to do it. Lions do what they like to do, you know, love to huff and puff. And they'll come out, I mean, they'll just, you know, what is that old, in like a sheep and out like a lion? Well, they're in like lions. Lions, so they're in like lions, but they always find a way to go out like lambs. Well, last year, they didn't care that they were out. They were still being lions, and good for them. And they knocked out the Packers. Good for them. So I really think that's going to carry over. I really do believe that the Lions are going to be good. You're not putting them in anywhere near a Super Bowl. Maybe they might get a playoff berth. Well, they got to win one. They got to win one. Can Goff do it? Team. Can the team do it? Yeah, I do believe they can. And can they beat the Kansas City Chiefs? Yeah. They can beat the Kansas City Chiefs. So I'm going out right now. I mean, that's my first pick. I'm already picking it. It's going to happen. Well, anyway, we do have other things. We've got the Harris Group now, which I like. We're going to cover that. Has bought the Washington Commodores. Kind of what a stupid name. I mean, just, whatever. Oh, we're the Commanders. Really? Wow. Good for you. Super. Well, I don't like, and Seth may or may not agree with me. I think he might, but I don't like organizations and companies buying sports teams. You're missing the whole, they're taking all the sport out of the sport. It's getting too corporate, too businessy, and they're missing the whole point. That's why baseball's all screwed up because, oh, well, because it doesn't fit into the TV schedule. Really? But people don't watch enough television? You got to take the ball game off to put in more programming? And that's exactly what it is, programming. You've got to be kidding me. Who cares if the goddamn game goes on 5 hours? I mean, what kind of a crap are you putting on anyway? I mean, good God. I mean, all this nonsense about the Masked Singer, and I mean, come on! That's a nothing burger, man. Come on. Play the game! I know I'm going on a soapbox. Well, you know, I get in that mood sometimes, man. And, you know, you put a microphone in front of my face, and I'm going to use it. Well, Brady now may become part owner of the Raiders. How about that, Seth? And in hockey, the Kraken plays tonight. They play in 55 minutes. So hopefully the Kraken, they're down 3-2 to Dallas. So hopefully the Kraken can win tonight, take it to a game 7. That would be great. But if not, well, that's typical Seattle. Final choke. So anyway, good luck tonight, Kraken. I'll be rooting for you, and I'm going to be monitoring the game at 7 o'clock. We still got an hour left on the show, so let's bring Seth on board. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard, and happy Saturday.
Shabbat shalom.
Not Shabbat shalom. I'm all fired up tonight. I don't know if you can tell, but hey, how about Brady becoming a Raider, huh? Wants to buy the, you know, be an owner. What do you think of that?
I think if he wants to go into that level of development, which is still rare for anybody to really do it, I think LA, even where he's got with the Broncos. It makes sense, really. I can see him as one of the smartest owners. And on top of it, he learned from Kraft. So he might just implement a system just like he did in Tampa Bay from the Patriots, offensive system and defensive, just like Belichick. He is a product of the system.
Well,
and he might be one of the best partial investors, obviously, you know, the Davis family is not going to give up.
No, he's got a chunk. Okay, he's got a little bit. I mean, he's not making trillions of dollars.
Let's be honest, as Raiders fans, we have always known that the Raiders have always worked with minimal amount of money historically forever. You really just come there to play for silver and black. You're not really getting paid big contracts unless you're that wide receiver wonder or whatever. But they don't have too many to give out.
Tom Brady might be
able to add the capital that you're like, wow.
Well, he can be
like some of these NFC East teams, these, you know, whatever divisions that pay all these players, just like in baseball, the Dodgers, Yankees, Red Sox, you could be that organization, and you can take your competition level in the AFC to a whole nother level.
Well, here's what I'm trying to get at. If Tom Brady, he's only got maybe, you know, a slice of the pie, 1 to maybe 5%, you know, I don't think he's going to get it. More than that, maybe 10 tops, but nothing major. So he still is there, but away. I mean, he could be, I think he'd be a better general manager than a coach because does he really want to go into coaching? He probably doesn't. A lot of players, they're not good coaches, but he's a GM. He could put the team together, I think, but, you know, it has what happened with Elway. Elway couldn't put a team together. He could not pick a quarterback. You drafted all these guys. You did it, and he couldn't do it. Now, Brady, like you were saying, you know, he trained from the best. Hey, it's worth giving him a shot. That's all I'm saying.
Do we get Viper?
No, not yet.
No, but
you see what I'm saying?
I think it's a great move for everybody. Like, it's a win-win-win. I don't think anybody, and then on top of it, if Tom Brady is going to get into a NFL team, even as part ownership, whatever, the Las Vegas Raiders,
I know,
with the Davis family, like, this is the best opportunity he has right now to get into part ownership. And really be influential.
Crazy.
Like, he can be.
Well, he could still stay
and
in the game.
He could
you know
take
what I mean?
A quarterback like Garoppolo and now say, hey, you got to do it this way, that way. And Garoppolo is a West Coast quarterback. I could see this totally happen.
Well,
he
Garoppolo
totally
played with Brady. Don't you remember he had to replace Brady?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he won. Well, so they know each other. But, I mean, I just think that Brady just can't stay away from the game. And this gives him an opportunity to stay, you know, close in the game. You know, that's why a lot of them go into broadcasting. They can't get away from the game. And you can't blame them. I mean,
And to be honest, like, when I watch certain players that talk about the game broadcasting throughout history, I understand it. I love it. Like, I still love hearing Howie Long talk about the game. And I know Howie Long knows the game. You know what I mean? Whatever he's telling me, his perspective, it's not bullcrap. It's not whatever. It's fact. I'm good with it.
No, I mean, I like to, I do like having the perspective of somebody who's never played because they're the fan's perspective and a player who's who knows the game. So the fan gets both. They get somebody that represents them, and they get to learn from somebody who's actually down on the field. And it makes you feel I'm getting inside dope, man. I'm getting the inside dope.
And sometimes as a fan, you don't know certain situations until you actually hear a player of that caliber talk about it and say, what you are all talking about is completely wrong, and this is why. They explain it to you, and then you're like, that's really cool.
Well, you know, they got to learn to shut up. In the NFL, you don't need, and I'm tired of, baseball, that they're starting to do that too. They are so afraid of having any dead air. That baseball, you don't need a lot of babbling. Shut up so we can, and that's what I loved about Vin Scully. Did it all by himself. Dave Niehaus in Seattle did it all by himself. And Harry Carey, every once in a while he'd have a partner. I mean, pretty much they did it all themselves. And they leave it, that way you don't have all this. There's too much. That's what drives me nuts. I like Romo. He's a great analyst, but dude, shut up. Let's absorb the play. I don't need over analysis. But that's me bitching. But anyway, speaking of the schedule, what do you think of this schedule? Now I know you probably think I'm crazy going with Detroit over Kansas City, but I just got a feeling that Kansas City, I don't think, is going to take them serious. It's going to be a wake-up call, and Detroit just doesn't care. They don't know that they're not supposed to win. Their coaches, and look, that team left the season on a great note. They left on a high note for Detroit.
It's so bizarre just talking about the Detroit Lions, that the local fans right now, after they were 9-8 last season, are already complaining about this is unfair. The NFL, in my opinion, out of any sports league organization with parity, I mean, you can see a team in the NFL go from the bottom of the barrel to the Super Bowl in 2 years. In other sports, you might be looking at 5 years to sniff a playoff hope. So it's unbelievable. This is what you want. This is what Viper even called. This is relevance. You are a relevant team now. And then on top of it, your first home game is going to be against the Sea Hags, and you better beat them. Because if you go home to the Chiefs and the Sea Hags, your whole season might be over.
Well, look.
Or you dug yourself a hole.
Well, Seahawks have played Detroit before, and they're generally good games. They're always well matched at the time, and they're good football games. Now, there's a bunch of stinkers, but they have – well, Kansas City has got a pretty – they play a lot of what should be over 500 teams. But Cincinnati, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, boring. Down here, Green Bay, Chicago, blah, blah, blah. Denver and the Raiders, that could be a test for the Raiders. If they can't get over Denver, I'm sorry, but Raiders don't have a team. If they can't win, I'm sorry, how am I wrong? It can't be the dilapidated Denver Broncos. I'm sorry, Vegas, but, you know, just get the freaking field. You know what I'm saying?
No, and it's going to be a really weird thing because, to be honest, as a Raiders fan, I know you are as well. Derek Carr was going to be the greatest quarterback maybe ever in this organization. He got hurt that one year with that leg injury. He never came back. And still okay, serviceable, but we gave him enough weapons. He couldn't do it here. I hope he does it in New Orleans. I really do. But
geography, he's got no pressure. He can just go out and play. There's no pressure in New Orleans. Not right now. You don't have the old Breeze.
And he has weapons in New Orleans. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
Kamara. Right.
But,
no, they'll grow together. But, no, I know what you're saying.
No. Garoppolo, man, he has been a really great quarterback that has given a bad rap a lot of times. Like, he's the perfect Raider if he works out. If he works out, he might be such an upgrade that – but the AFC is that tough. That's the whole thing. Like, if this whole development was happening in the NFC, the Raiders would be a playoff team this year for sure. Let's see.
Well, there are some, you know, there's a couple of test games that are, you know, they're going to be testing, like San Francisco and Pittsburgh. That's a test for Pittsburgh, and it's a test for San Francisco because they're still a mess unit. So they don't even have a quarterback, so they're a mess. But Miami and the Chargers, that is a real test, not only for Miami, but for the Chargers. Chargers cannot, I mean, look, I don't know how they got 10 wins last year. That was, I don't know how they did it. They shouldn't have. They should have been more. Well, this year I think they're going to be stronger. Well, look at Miami. Miami faltered because, you know, after Tua went, well, you know, whatever. So Miami's still a good football team. You cannot discount Miami. You cannot say,
Here's one of the things that no matter what you talk about, a lot of these other teams in the AFC that are good, that Miami defense is still good. That Miami defense kept them in the playoff hunt pretty much the whole time.
You know, if Tua isn't smelling the colors because he's had his bell rung and he can actually play, their offense is pretty damn good too. You know, so Miami could be a good team. It's going to be a test for both of them and going to be a test for Herbert and the Chargers. Philadelphia and New England is going to be a test for New England. Every game they play is a test. And look, Philadelphia, are you really the same old Philadelphia? They went to the Super Bowl? No, you're going to suck. And then Dallas and Giants, that's always a good game. I don't care what time of the season that Dallas and Giants play. That's a good game. And that's the first Sunday night game. So they're starting off, you know, not screwing around. I mean, Dallas and Giants.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
that's a good rivalry.
That's the really cool thing about when you see how this parody, how they schedule, how everything, the NFL, I heard this comparison this week, and I thought it was kind of hilarious, but then I was like, no, they made it really like the WWE.
Hold that thought. I got to bring Viper on board. The first Monday night game, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, it's definitely they're wanting more ratings, and they want Monday night football to be better than it has been. So, Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Hey, good to be here.
We're talking about the NFL schedule right now, and
the Viper has landed.
And I went on the record, and I'm going now, and I said it at the very first thing that I said when the show started. Thursday night opener, Detroit and Kansas City. I'm going Detroit. Hammer down, I'm telling you. Detroit is going to upset Kansas City. Now, I'm not saying Detroit, Kansas City can't turn around, but they're going to get shocked because I think Detroit is still on a little bit of a high. I think that coach has got them convinced. It doesn't matter that you suck. It doesn't matter how bad you are or you're good, you're going to win. And you go out and play, and they play as a team, and they can continue what they left off last year. Absolutely. I'm not putting Detroit in the Super Bowl, but I'm going to put them out, and they're going to come out, they're going to be contenders. You're going to have to start taking Detroit almost seriously now.
I don't disagree with that. I've seen multiple times where a team coming off a championship the previous year tends to, on the first night when you're raising the banner, really not bring their A game, and then maybe the opponent is a little more motivated to beat that team, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying that that makes Detroit better than Kansas City. In the NFL, the teams where the games mean more, I mean, a good example is Detroit and the Packers last year. You know, the Packers needed to win. It should have meant more, but it meant more to Detroit to stuff them down and make it knock them out of the playoffs. So, you know, it's all based on motivation, and I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if that was Detroit's first win.
Well, we'll find out, though. I mean, if that can get keep that momentum going. But anyway, we did have to interrupt Seth. So, Seth,
and I heard Seth talking there. Yeah, I agree with Seth. I'll let him continue.
The NFL is a little bit like
the WWE.
Right.
No. I mean, really, if people actually know anything about the WWE in wrestling, it was originally called the WWF. But
right.
Back in the day, wrestling was really big just in regions. So when people used to own kind of all the things, the McMahon family, Vince McMahon's dad, actually owned a region in the Northeast. He had figured out how to collectively make it all collected a whole and just buy out people as time went on. And it was so against the thing of the old grain, but it made it a great sport. The NFL right now, week one, we already have great matchups. And people won't remember matchups going later in NFL seasons the way they used to it, that there were some terrible Monday night football games where you're like, oh my goodness, this is going to be a 50-0 blowout, you know. That can still happen. They have made this an entertainment sort of things bonanza. It blows our minds, and this is why this is the highest paid making industry in sports in the world.
Well, you know what I really I did not ever like the WWF, and I know why they had to go get another company or something. had the letters. Well, whatever. But I grew up, and again, I know I've told you this story, a wrestler, you know, in my neighborhood. I went to school. I still got her on Facebook. And we would go to the Portland Sports Arena. We knew them all, Jimmy Snuka, Dutch Savage, I mean, the Kangaroos, Bull Ramus. I've seen Andre the Giant. I've seen the guy, man, when I was a little kid, and Andre the Giant, you know, my grandfather, he took us to see, you know, there in Portland, Oregon, the Portland Sports
Seriously,
Arena.
Seriously, Ski.
But I know, but let me, let me finish here. Here's what I hated about WWF and WWE that they didn't have in the regional wrestling. And that was blood. Every Saturday night, somebody was going to bleed. And the cameras caught it. People watched it at home. You were there in the stands, and there was blood. They don't have that on WWE. They don't have that. They got more costumes and trash talking, and it's junk. You're like clowns. These guys were guys that they came out, and Jesse Ventura and Bull Ramus, I remember Jesse Ventura, absolutely. He was one of the bad guys, and then, you know, they go from bad to good, and Rowdy Piper, oh, my God, used to see those guys all the time, Johnny Eagle. I mean, God, I mean, the list goes on. Tough Coney Bourne, man. I mean, the list goes on.
Rowdy Piper became good for only, like, 2 or 3 weeks and became bad again. It was part of a plan. It was amazing.
Well, Jimmy Snuka.
Forget the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah, he sucks. That's all.
But Jim Hacksaw, Dugan, Iron Sheik.
Those guys, that was weak. But Jimmy Snuka, though, we were at this, like, a street fair kind of a thing. I don't know if it was in Vancouver or Portland, it was somewhere, and it was like at a park or something, and we were on some kind of a ride, like a roller coaster or something, and we're just standing there, and all of a sudden, and I knew who Jim Snuka was, because we used to go to the, you know, like I said, we'd see him at the Crow's Nest, we'd see him, and, you know, but he came and asked me a question of where something was. I can't remember, and the only thing I could do, I couldn't even speak, I could only point my finger, and he goes, "Thanks, brudda." And I was like, oh, my God, Jimmy Snuka just came up and talked to me. I swear to God, I was in. I swear to God, I've never felt that way before in my life. And I was like, oh, my God, this was intense, man, as a little kid. And Jimmy Snuka would come up and ask you a question. So I had Ruth Buzzy ask me a question when I first moved to New York. I was on the train station. And she asked me, oh, how to get to Seaford. And I said, oh, I don't know. I just moved here, but I think you just go to the next one
but,
over there.
Oh, no. When I used to live where you do, and I had a couple friends from Michigan come up and visit, and we were downtown. We were pretty much in Greenwich Village, and then all of a sudden Dave Foley comes up, and he has a question, and he's with the unbelievably beautiful woman. I don't know if it was his wife or girlfriend at the time. And my two friends were speechless. They didn't even know what to do. And then I was really honest with him, and I said, listen, dude, I live in Nassau County. Like, I have no clue. He's like, thanks. He just walked away.
You know, that's always cool when, you know, you by chance, you know, you meet somebody, you know. And it's like, hey, that's pretty cool, you know. Well, anyway.
Oh, no, but I can understand, though, when people meet famous people or whatever, like, you can't believe how many people naturally clam up. You know, they just can't react normally to these people.
Well, I was a little kid. I had, you know, and I, first of all, I was, like, talking to somebody at the time. And, you know, all of a sudden he comes up and, you know, and asks me a question. And then I realized this is Jimmy Snuka. And at that point, I was like, okay, I'm frozen. I can't do nothing. I just pointed.
How old were you at the time?
Oh, God, I don't know. I couldn't have been more than 8 or 9.
Eight, 10? Okay, yeah.
Maybe
so somewhere
10,
around
top,
there.
Top.
Oh, yeah, no. So you can still speak well enough. You can say certain things. You're already in awe. Like, that must have been one of the best moments in your entire life.
Well, especially since, you know, I seen him on TV and we got a chance to see him. And, in person.
And he was a great wrestler. He was a cool dude. Jimmy Snuka, dude. Superfly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, back in the football, we were talking about the Raiders in Denver. I want to get Viper's take on this. Now, me, and I think Seth agrees with me, if the Raiders lose to Denver, I don't care if they're playing in Denver or not. I don't see Denver being that good. But if they do lose to Denver, I mean, I think that's a telltale sign that the Raiders are just – they're just, I don't know. They need a big turnaround, and maybe Tom Brady can come over there and do something, but I don't know. I don't see Denver being that much better. I mean, Viper, you know the guys better than I do. I mean, and even with their draft picks.
Is it at Denver or is it in Las Vegas?
It's in Denver. So,
Okay. No, the big factor for me.
Well, I mean, you know,
if the Raiders lose 27-24 home opener with Garoppolo,
that's not that bad.
But it's not that bad.
But this ain't the Elway Broncos, and you know, this is division games. They're starting out doing a lot of division games this year. But I mean, if the Vegas doesn't win the season opener, I mean, people are going to be doubting them again. Now, Garoppolo has to show that he can do it. And I don't think Russell Wilson, I don't think his heart is really in it. Viper, I mean, like I said, you know the players better than me. I mean, is Denver improved? I mean, even though you're bringing over, you know, an experienced new coach, but are they really improved? Or are we looking at about the same as last year?
Well, I think the question has to be, has their offense really improved? Their defense was never the problem. I mean, we all remember watching some ridiculous game with Denver on Thursday night. Can't remember who they played. It was the most boring,
yes,
lifeless game. I mean, it was like, why are we watching? I think it was Denver and the Commanders. I can't remember
like
the game.
Three to nothing or something like that, yeah.
I mean, absolute futility on the offensive side of the ball for both teams. And not because the Washington Commanders are an elite defense, but the Denver defense is elite. I mean, if they can sustain what they had last year and improve at all defensively, they're going to be a much better team. The question in that situation there is going to be the relationship between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. I mean, there's just no getting around it.
Yep.
Sean Payton's got a huge pedigree. Russell Wilson's got a Super Bowl. You know, he's got MVP status. So you're looking at the irresistible force, immovable object scenario where, hey, what's going to give? Is it going to be Sean Payton giving in or Russell Wilson giving? Personally, I can't see Sean Payton giving in. I just can't. So either Russell Wilson's going to toe the line or it's going to be ugly in this first season in Denver with Payton and Wilson. And they're married to each other.
On top of it, let's be honest. Like, let's not be cynics. You have to say you're coming in to this division of the AFC West that you have elite teams, not just whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Raiders. Like, they could be three teams in the playoffs. So, wow, that's what you start off with.
Well, I mean, look, I just don't think that Russell Wilson – really has his head in the game anymore. And I noticed last year there were times where I swear to God, the line was like, just go get this guy. We're tired of his crap. Get him. And they just, you know, it looked,
let's
it
ride.
Looked too easy.
Let's ride.
Yeah. It looked too easy. They could just go through him and sack him. But I just don't think Russell Wilson still has it in him. And Denver is screwed. He signed a 5-year contract with him. 5 years. He was already in the league, what, 13 or 14 years?
Oh, dude, this is the biggest
hype. And you sign a five-year contract with the guy? That is stupid business. Look, Elway was fired, I do believe. But, oh, no, I'm going to go home and spend time with my family. Yeah. Yeah, I think he was fired for that. Because what a mess. Five-year deal? No, you get two or three at that point. You're in the league, what, 14 years? And then you get a five-year deal? Unless you are, you know, super Tom Brady, which you were not. And you showed decline in the last 3 years that you played. And now I'm going to give you a five-year contract worth $40 million a year or whatever the hell it is? Oh, man. Ugh. Well, I don't like Denver anyway, so, you know, good for them. But still, you know, Vegas, you have to win that game. But then, again, now getting down to the Miami Chargers game, that is, again, these are a lot of test games. Miami, it's a big test for Miami. You know, Miami has 10. And they're in a division right now where you can't lose. You lose, one loss is like equal to two. And the Chargers have to win, too. You know, they were supposed to last year in Philadelphia. They're coming off, you know, a Super Bowl appearance. And they're playing New England. Well, New England has a lot to prove now, too. And then you got Dallas and Giants, which, again, I love Dallas and Giant games. It doesn't matter what time of the season it is. Dallas and the Giants is always set. You know what I'm talking about. You've been here long enough in New York. It is it is rambunctious, and it is always a fight. And there's always something exciting happens. Well, for them to start out, you know, week one, you know, wow, that's a test now for Dallas and the Giants. Now, we have a caller. Now, I think this might be our special guest tonight. I don't know. But I think it might be
Roger Goodell. Is Roger Goodell coming on tonight?
Roger Goodell. So, they hung up. I was just going to bring him on, and they hung up. Maybe it wasn't. Oh, maybe it was Howard trying to call in again. I don't know. Well, oh, wait a minute. There he is again. Okay, so. We're going to be on, caller. So if the last four digits are a phone number, 3108, you are now on the air. Welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Welcome aboard, Captain.
Hey!
Do you recognize this voice?
Yes, I do.
Do you recognize this voice?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, sure. You better recognize it, pal. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Well, now I don't know.
Thought I was going to call you about sports, didn't you?
Now I don't know who this is. Are you Doc?
Oh, my God. It's Christopher Bruce.
Oh, my God. You sounded like Doc. Oh, my God.
How you doing?
Well, Chris, I hate to disappoint you, but we do have a rule on this show. We're not allowed to talk about politics anymore. We can't do it.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I refuse to talk about that. Okay? What I'm going to tell you...
Well, anyway, how the hell are you?
I'm doing okay. What I am going to tell you is that I got the show going again, and I want to have you on.
I will be more than happy to come on your show. Absolutely. I love your show.
Well,
you know I love
you're
the living
you
man.
You want to do what's the best day for you?
I don't know. You give me the date and time and let me know and I'll rearrange myself. I'll show up on your show again. Absolutely. But you you still have that Facebook?
Oh, no, I had to make another new profile. I've had three of them since I saw you last.
Well, I tell you what.
They keep shutting me down.
Well, I don't have time right now, but in the comment section, put your email address.
Okay.
And I will send you my email address. You give me the date and time. Absolutely would love to come on your show again. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I will definitely do that if I can find the comment section.
Sounded exactly like a guy that we were – it was supposed to come on tonight, Doc, and you kind of sounded like him, but it was a little bit muffled, and I thought, well, you know, Doc is Doc. He's probably out hunting or doing something, and, you know. But, no, I – oh, my God, Chris, thank you very much for calling
I just
in,
took
man.
You totally by surprise, didn't I?
Yes, you
well,
did.
Listen,
no, you,
I've sent you a friend request from my new profile on Facebook. So if you come on Facebook, you should be able to click with me.
Okay, I'll check that out, and then we can exchange emails that way. And
that'll
absolutely
work.
I love it. All right, hey, all right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Living Man. He's a great guy. And if you get a chance, what's the name of your show, Chris? So if anybody listens,
America's Deadly Sins. You know this.
America's Deadly Sins. I know, but I wanted you to say.
Yes, sir.
America's Deadly Sins. And you get on there. And hey, Chris, good luck. Glad you came on board, and I would love to join you again. So thank you very much.
Hey,
friend.
No problem, man. It was good to talk to you again. See you
all
later.
Right.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye. Oh no. Okay, guys, that was. A guy I did, you know, we did a lot of politics and a lot of stuff. This guy is a very interesting man, been all over the place. He knows, I mean, it's just, he's just a very interesting guy. So if you do get a chance to listen in America's Deadly Sins, but that's politics, but we don't talk about that on here. So now getting back to the schedule. Now here's the first Monday night game. Now you can tell that the NFL is they're really trying to make Monday night, you know, worth something. Well, it's not anymore. Well, so the first Monday night game is going to bring some ratings in. This is Buffalo in New York Jets. Now, that is a test game. There's a big test for Buffalo and obviously a big test for the Jets. Rodgers, you have to win. Well, Buffalo, you've got to win too. There's a lot of everybody has to win. And that's what I love. I think this is going to be a fun year. That's just me.
No, if you were a fan of a Steven Spielberg and doing storybooks and whatever, you could only write this. It's amazing. The whole first week is amazing. So forget about the rest of the schedule without even talking about it. It has everything they could ever want in a story script.
Okay, now I think this is who I think it is because this number kind of looks almost familiar. So the last four digits of your phone number, caller, is 4495. You are now on the air. Welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, Cap. What's going on?
Is this
on?
The real Doc, or is this Chris?
This, no, this is a complete imposter. There can only be one.
Well, the reason why is because just a couple of minutes ago, we get a guy, and I didn't. He had a number, and I didn't recognize it, so I said, well, that's got to be Doc. And he comes on, and his voice is kind of like yours in a little bit of a way. And,
yeah,
I, and
it was
kind
between
of
between him and Brother X, really.
Right, yeah. And kind of scratchy. And
it
I'm
was
like,
a collage.
You know, I'm thinking it's Doc, and he goes, no, it's not Doc. It's a guy that used to call on, and I think you were on the show with him, with me once when he was on. I'm pretty sure you were. But anyway,
okay.
He's got his new show. But anyway, Doc, Doc is one of the founding fathers of this sports show. We have Seth on board, and we have Viper. Now, Doc and Viper, you guys familiar with each other? You guys know each other?
Vaguely. I don't know that we've been on the show at the same time, but maybe once or twice.
Yeah,
well,
that's,
you guys
that's kind of what I was thinking.
Well, we do got the new schedule coming out, and that's what we're talking about right
Is
now.
Is Doc
and,
camping a lot?
Who?
I beg your pardon?
Does Doc go camping a lot?
The Doc does do camping a lot, yes.
Okay, I think he's been on one or two shows, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Doc, you being a Detroiter and a deep doubter, I am this year, first game of the season, Thursday night. September 7th, 2023, 8:20 p.m. Detroit Lions take on the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City, and I am picking Detroit to upset the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, just exactly how crazy really am I?
Well, Kip, I got to say, you're just as crazy as I am because I know that they'll lose, but I'm still going to pick them to win.
I just got a feeling that they're going to upset, that, you know, they're going to have that win. Now, I'm not putting them, you know, deep into the playoffs. They may get there as, you know, a default and, you know, get there. But they missed it by one game last year. So they improved by one game. And week one could be that one game they improved. It'll get them into the playoffs. Now, whether they get a playoff win.
In theory, if you think about it, if Detroit was ever going to play the Chiefs, you won't play them week one or week 18. That's it. Other than that, you don't want to play that Chiefs team. So this is your best chance, too, for the lineup.
Yeah, you don't want to play when they're you know, mid-season, that sort of thing, and they're used to playing. You want to get them, like Skip said, right at the beginning, everybody's trying to dust off them cobwebs, or at the very end when they're beaten, battered. That's when you want to play.
They have so many wins, they don't even have to play a person to actually get to whatever playoff position they're at. They're
right. Basically,
players.
It's a game that doesn't count for them.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't count for the Chiefs. But it will count for the Lions. You see what I'm saying?
Correct.
They win that game.
Oh, no, this week
count.
One, yeah, the Chiefs are still going to be in the AFC Championship next year.
Yeah.
The Lions, you win this game, oh, my goodness. You have a really good chance to get to the NFC Championship game this year.
Well,
I wouldn't go as far as saying that, but it will
be some good
bragging rights that most Lie Down fans can go, no, we beat the Chiefs week one. We beat them week one. It could be week 17, but we beat the Chiefs week one. And that's what the Lie Downs will hold on to. We got to have something to hold on to.
Well, the Lions beat a pretty good team last year, if I remember correctly. And they were actually when they beat the Vikings, and the Vikings had only like one or two losses at the time, and the Lions had four wins, and the Lions are favored. Well, they did. They come out and they beat the Vikings.
Well, that was the thing last year, though, with the Lie Downs, is they dug themselves that hole so early that they came out and they won 8 of their last 10 remaining games. A little too late. Yeah, that means they only had one, they were 1-6 before that. It was that bad.
Well, speaking of the, no, you're right. But getting back to the Vikings, Doc, I mean, look, they're a great regular season team, but I don't think you can blame Cousins for them not, you know, getting that deep in the postseason. I mean, Joe Capp, who just died, may he rest in peace, he got him there. Then Tarkenton went there. He couldn't get it done. You know, it's the Vikings themselves, and you know, I don't know if you could put all the blame on Cousins.
No, and you really can't. I mean, a lot of it is, you know, honestly, it really is a teamwork game. It takes both sides of the ball, and you know, that's what it boils down to is who's going to pull their weight and pull extra weight when somebody else isn't stepping up. And like you said, you can't put all the blame on Cousins. Even though he's like the front man, basically. I mean, we've talked about that. So, it's not all his fault. But, again, it's easy to blame the quarterback.
What do you think of them this year? Now, they're playing Tampa Bay week one. Now, that should be a win. Yes, it should be. Tampa Bay, everybody, there's no pressure in Tampa Bay right now. everybody knows you know you got the Brady hangover. You're not doing nothing this year. Everybody knows it.
Yep. I like the way you phrase it. The Brady hangover.
You know, right. And but you know the Vikings are still relatively, you know, in a good team. Well, I'm looking at the schedule. They do got some tough games. They got Philly, the Chargers, Kansas City, Frisco. They got some easy ones. Cincinnati. They play Detroit twice.
But isn't that the beauty about some of the schedules when a certain good team is, let's say, 5-4. You know they're way better than that. And they're playing another team that is also 5-4 and way better than that. And they play in this schedule, and you're like, that might have been the best football game of the year. However it ended. Yeah. The NFL, they have this mastered. It's unbelievable. I love it. I love all of it.
Well, no, again, there's a lot of telltale games, but I know you guys don't subscribe to it as much as I do, but I really believe in week one is a very important game, and I think if Detroit wins week one, I think that's their one game that they made the playoffs this year. That's their one game improvement, and that's all they need is one more win.
Well, no, I agree. I mean, I think if the Lions were playing like a run of the mill team, you know, like if they played the Browns or something, that sort of thing, and they won, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. I mean, as a team goes, but if they're playing Kansas City and they win that one, I think that will just mentally help them go, no, we beat Kansas City, which could give them that drive. For the rest
well,
of
you've
the
also got, you know, the down-to-earth scenario where Kansas City is like, we don't care who you are. You're in our turf? No, we're winning.
Right.
And that's just the way it is.
Oh no. And Travis Kelce can have four touchdowns in one game.
And on the same note, though, I mean, honestly, if the Lions play a very competitive game and they end up losing, they can still turn around and go, you know what?
That's
back
a win.
In the locker room and go, you know what? No, we won this game with heart. We won it as a team. Even though the scoreboard says we lost, we still put everything out there. We laid everything out, and we competed at their level with them, knowing that they can just smash you any day, that sort of thing.
Which will propel them for the next game. Go ahead, Viper.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love this game for the Lions because this is in my opinion, this is a no-lose situation for them. They don't lose playing the Chiefs first, and I'm going to relate it to something very memorable. You look at what Herb Brooks did back in 1980, right before the Olympics. He schedules the Red Army Soviet Union team in Madison Square Garden. And they get destroyed. I mean, absolutely destroyed. Jim Craig gives up like 6 goals. But what that did is it set the tone for the entire Olympics going forward. Because it said, hey, you guys need to be at that level. And every game we've got to start striving to play that level. Detroit, if they win, they can say, you know, hey, we're contenders now. If they lose competitively, they can say, hey, we're that close, like Doc was saying. We're close. We're on the right path now. And if they get bombed, I know Campbell can use that to say, this is how far away we need to go.
No, but Viper, exactly. I have a quick question for you, Viper. Is them losing by a field goal to the Bills at home on Thanksgiving Day, wasn't that kind of already that type of test already for that team?
It was for last season. Yeah, it was for last season. I think that barely losing to the Bills on Thanksgiving was that type of scenario, yes, for last season. This is a new season. Every year is new. I don't care who you are every year.
Right, but let's say the Lions are really rebuilding. They're really getting the right people at the right positions. Wow. Against Kansas City. They might have a chance. They might have a chance, dude.
I just noticed there's three games for Thanksgiving. Green Bay, Detroit, Washington, and Dallas. Boring. Dallas should be playing New York on Thanksgiving. Come on. Detroit needs to be playing somebody else. Come on. And then San Francisco and Seattle! Yay! We get a Thursday night. But then they got a game on Friday. On Black Friday, they got a game. Miami and New York Jets at 3 p.m. Eastern. That's weird. I've done that before. That's a weird time slot. Friday at 3 p.m. I figure people will be home, you know, the after Thanksgiving, and a lot of offices and a lot of people are closed. So, yeah, it only makes sense. Why not? You know, you're down on leftovers. You know, it's the afternoon. It'll be noon on the West Coast. You know, watch a little football. Still hungover and, you know, have a sandwich and watch some football. I mean, you can't go wrong.
That's a great marketing scheme. I love the leftover hangover.
No,
it's like one of my favorite things in the world.
You know, I mean, that's actually pretty good. I'd never seen it before on Friday. But Seattle and San Francisco, that should be kind of a fun game. But Detroit and Green Bay used to be good, but I mean, Green Bay is. They're not green. I mean, Green Bay is not going to do nothing. And Washington, I did have that on the to-do list tonight, being bought out by this big bank conglomerate. All these millionaires, billionaires, and they own all these different businesses and this and that. It's like getting too corporate. The team's going to be owned by an individual. Well, it hasn't cleared yet, but I'm sure it probably will, because owns a basketball team, the 76ers. And the whole conglomerate owns a lot of stuff. So, but I don't like that. Teams, you know, the sports get back to being sports and have the stadium mean something. You know, somebody that is relevant to the city or relevant to the team. You know, and the team is owned by an individual. And the players play the game. They love the game. Fans come because they love to watch the game. I'm living in the past. I know. I'm sorry, but I get into the 21st century.
Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with that, Cap. I mean, what is it? Green Bay is owned by the city. So,
well, that's fine.
I mean, I think that's a glorious thing. I mean, it helps with the fan base. It gets you more invested. I mean, if I lived in Green Bay, I'd be, you know, a diehard Green Bay fan. I couldn't help it because I'm already a shareholder.
Well, I mean, the stadium holds like half the population.
Emotional, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it does.
Well, that's why they don't have games on Saturdays benches. There because everybody's out ice fishing.
But, I mean, look, these guys are sitting in Green Bay on wooden benches. It's 40 below zero, and they're sitting on a wood bench. I mean, that's football fans, man. That's football.
Yeah.
You know, could you imagine that in L.A.? Oh, I got to sit on it. I'm going to get a splinter. Ah! Oh, Jesus, Christmas. And you think L.A. can handle 40 below? No. I mean, they get down to 50 degrees and they're freaking out, man. I'm telling you. I've lived there. So, well, let's see who the Jets have. And this is going to be, you know, Rodgers has to succeed. He's over there, come over there to win the Super Bowl. And, you know, he has a lot of expectations. And I think if he really wants it, and I really do believe he wants it, and if he does want it, he can get it. I think he could get it. They play Buffalo, then Dallas, New England, Kansas City, Denver, Philly, Giants, Chargers, Buffalo again. They play the Giants. That's always fun. But they play Buffalo and then Dallas. Now, that's a test for Dallas. That's two big games Dallas has, back-to-back in a row. Well, Dallas has to win, too. I mean, Jerry Jones is sick and tired. And Dallas, the city, they don't like to lose. They're like New York. There's no lose. No, we're New York. We don't lose. No, we get to win. That's it. Well, Dallas is the same way. So there's a lot of tough games, man. I think the NFL is putting forth some, you know, hard competition. You know, you're going to have to sing for your supper this year. You know, if you want to eat, you're going to have
honestly,
to win.
I think that's about time.
Yeah.
It's better than having, like, what is it, like the big three, big four that are always there in contention. Nice to have things kind of wobblecock, so to say, just to make more tough games during the season for some of the bigger teams that are right there, right up in your face. And, you know,
well, say whatever you want to about the Patriots, but they did have a kind of a cake schedule. I mean, they had a couple of teams, but overall, they had themselves a nice little schedule. So they're in there every year. And versus Detroit is playing everybody that, you know, is over 500 and part of, you know, they can't get out of their own way. Well,
right.
They're putting matchups of teams, and if you notice in week one, let me get out of this. They've got, Carolina and Atlanta. Okay, for those two teams, that's a matchup. That's a good matchup. Arizona and Washington, that's a good matchup. It's not, one team is not overpowering the other. Cincinnati and Cleveland, well, there's nothing you can do with Cleveland. They're going to have to play somebody. Houston and Baltimore, well, Houston is that kind of team. They got to play somebody, too. But Jacksonville and Indianapolis, that's a test for both teams. San Francisco and Pittsburgh, Tampa, Minnesota. I mean, you go down the line, Green Bay and Chicago. Well, that's a great game because that's an old history game, Green Bay and Chicago.
Right.
Yeah. You know, but both of these teams suck. But it's a matchup. It's a good matchup, meaning you're going to see competition. You're not going to see one team blow out the other. You're going to see two teams playing at relatively the same level. So, well, good for Chicago. I mean, hopefully they can do something, but... So... Well, Viper, are you still with us? Haven't heard you in a while. I know I'm chatterbox.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
So, I mean, what is your thoughts? And then I want to get Seth's view on this. I mean, with the schedule, you've had a chance to peruse it a little. But, I mean, it does look like we got some really good competition this year. And I think the NFL is, I think they're improving and they're learning and, I don't know. Maybe it's all mathematics. They got a computer schedule or a computer program or something that's, you know, I mean, but the games seem to be pretty good games though, right?
Well, I mean, I think they do a good job every year of, you know, trying to find and maximize their viewership. You know, you can see it in how they are programming their, the primetime games, who's getting a lot of primetime games. Like living in Indianapolis, I saw the news when the schedule came out, and, you know, the first thing at the top of the local news was the Colts don't have any primetime games. It's just, well, why would they? I mean, they're terrible.
Yeah.
And,
hello.
Yeah, they're probably going to be bad for a year or two at least. And, you know, that the NFL tends to reward the teams that pull good viewership, not just in their own market, but in outside markets as well. And, you know, a good reason for, you know, the Chiefs to be on TV all the time, a lot of people like to watch the Chiefs. like a watch Patrick Mahomes. I think the takeaway from the phenomenal ratings for the Sunday night game with the Packers and Lions are a big reason why the Lions are playing 5 primetime games this year. So the NFL does a good job of recognizing what teams and what games are going to be the hot market, and they do a pretty good job of, you know, featuring them. And, you know, Seth was saying earlier when I first called about them being like the WWE. Well, what is the WWE? The WWE is not competition; it's entertainment. You know, that's what WWE is. They do their job is to entertain. Those aren't real wrestling matches. We all know that, but it's entertaining to watch. And so,
well,
I think the NFL is smart to take that card and use it.
With that, hold on, caller. I'm going to get to you in a second. We got another caller, but you know, with that entertainment, and you know, the story when the Jets won their first Super Bowl, and Johnny Unitas wasn't playing; he was hurt, and this and that, and they've talked about the games are rigged, and one of the players was talking about it. Well, I'm not there yet, even though you can see sometimes they are doing some funky stuff. But I think they're learning, and they're at least looking like they're putting competition together, because some of these games, I mean, these are well-matched games. And, you know, we had a great last couple of seasons. The season before was the most incredible postseason of any sport ever. That was incredible.
And to tell you the truth, when Viper sent on the chat, that game between Bo Jackson against Barry Sanders,
yep,
in Detroit that day, and both of them averaged 8 to 9 yards a carry at the end of the game. If you're an NFL fan and you're week one, you get to see something like this. You are like, this is amazing. Like, you can't even... You'll remember it for the rest of your life. And
I
think, I
mean, when you got two players like
that, they're doing it.
You know, that doesn't come around very often, but sometimes it does. Okay, so now again, caller, I have no idea who you are, so I'll read the last 4 digits of your phone number. The last 4 digits are, I do kind of recognize this number, I think. 6921. If that is you, you're on the air. Welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Thank you, Captain. I've been here before. I called 2 weeks ago.
Yes. I thought I recognized that phone number. How are you doing, my friend?
Is it the Jeff fan?
Yes, I am. And with
I remember him. I mean,
all of a sudden, the AFC East might be the hottest ticket in the league, the hottest division, that is. So,
absolutely.
You know, I think we're going to be... We're here for a prime season. You better be.
Well, your Jets have got some really good games. They've got the first Monday night to play Buffalo. So that is a test.
Yep.
I mean, Buffalo has to show, hey, we're still the top dog in this division. And the Jets are saying, no, you ain't. We got Aaron Rodgers. He's now the top dog.
That's right.
So
hey,
we're looking
like
at
a big dog.
Yeah, we're looking at an incredible game with that. I mean, for Monday night, I'll be watching Monday Night Football, which I haven't in years.
I am primed and ready for this whole season.
No, okay. Yeah. So you're a Jets fan. I've been wanting to ask this question. It's a valid question. I mean, so Favre left the Packers, went to the Jets. Now Rodgers has left the Packers and gone to the Jets. So as a Jets fan, how do you actually feel about that sort of thing?
Well, I get your point because, you know, Favre did give us a winning season, but he promised us so much more. And, you know, with now Rodgers at the back end of his career, you know, I was thinking, well, what kind of Rodgers are we going to get? Are we going to get the Rodgers where they were, you know, a dominant team with the Packers, or are we going to get the one looking more lethargic and, like, you know, soft and whatnot? So, you know, it depends. But I think, you know, Rodgers was looking for a change to see anyone. So I think he's going to bring, you know, great offense to the Jets. Plus, he's got some receivers with him, too. that are going to help bring him up, because that's where we were lacking all this time, you know, receivers and bad quarterback picks. So
okay.
This is a vast improvement from, you know, more recent years with the Jets.
Well, and, you know, like I said, I was just asking because, you know, I've talked about this, you know, just in passing with other people and, you know, other
right.
various things that I do in my life. And we'll get to, you know, the BSing about stuff. And I don't know many Jets fans. So with you on, I can actually ask the valid question of, all right, what are your thoughts on that? So, but no, that answer made sense.
Kind of sad.
I'm down with
that. Sad that you don't make Jets fans. Kind of sad.
You know, and the nice thing with the Jets fans is you got one Super Bowl win in the Super Bowl era, and light on at zero. So you have one Super Bowl between your two organizations for, 100 years?
Yeah. Well,
hey, look. I mean, there's a lot of teams again that are must win, and I think though the biggest must win is without a doubt Rodgers coming over to the Jets, because Rodgers isn't coming over there to just end his career quietly.
Like the Jets pick, what was it, 3 overall, Sauce Gardner as a DB? That is a recipe for disaster for most people in their drafts. And yet, this guy was the Deion Sanders or the whatever of a draft. This Jets team is stacked, and Mike White running the team for even any amount of time was better than Zach Wilson. And they finish that out because you had your third or fourth string quarterback having to finish the season.
Hey, look, if Mike White hadn't have gotten hurt, you tell me, Jets fan. I mean, if Mike White hadn't have gotten hurt, they would have gone into the playoffs.
Mike White's not even on the team anymore. Mike White is not even on the team anymore. No, you had to keep Zach Wilson because that crap contract. And, yes, you bring in Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Mike White, good luck with the Atlanta Falcons. But other than that, Aaron Rodgers has to be the answer. If Aaron Rodgers can't solve your problem right now, then
nobody will.
The Jets were more screwed than you thought.
Well, Viper, you being from Atlanta and all, I think Mike White coming over there, and Atlanta, you know, they're kind of quiet about it, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Atlanta, if they didn't come close to, 8-9 wins, and they're going to do it quietly. I mean, I wouldn't underestimate the Falcons this year, but...
No.
You know, that's a guess. But I really think Mike White, I mean, look what he did with the Jets. I mean, he took them and he said, hey, let's go. Because they weren't winning with, what's his name, Wilson. And he comes in and all of a sudden they start to win? Huh.
Yeah, go figure that one.
Kind of like with Lance. He goes out and they bring in Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. And all of a sudden what happened? They started to win. How did that happen?
He's not more relevant anymore.
Yeah. Well, now he's injured. And now, does anybody know? I mean, I they're not really saying a lot, but I mean, is Purdy going to be ready for a training camp? I get some, you know?
No, he's not.
He's not going to be ready. Well,
No. The recovery time is going to take longer than expected.
Well, the last I heard, he was pretty much going to be out for the season. Now, what was it, Viper? Was it Tommy John, or was it something like Tommy John?
No, it was Tommy John actually would have ended up, if that's the surgery he needed, that would have ended up having him back in the lineup quicker This is going to be, it's not exactly a Tommy John injury, although it's in the same area. It's in that UCL area, the ulnar collateral ligaments, that's UCL. But it isn't, it's almost like someone that sprains an ankle versus fractures an ankle. The fracture is going to heal quicker. So it's like, it's not quite as bad an injury, but the result is going to take a longer time. And I'm not a doctor, but I mean, I know a little bit about that subject, and it was bad news for Brock Purdy. Let's just put it that way.
Well, is there, how do I phrase this? When he gets healthy, is it going to affect his game? Will it make it weaker, or could it make it stronger? Or,
I mean, yeah. It's going to be a little bit of a wait and see. I mean, he didn't have a big arm to begin with. So if the question is, you know, if his arm stays the same, I mean, he didn't have a big arm from the get-go anyway, but the ultimate thing is he going to be able to throw the ball accurately? That's going to be the whole thing, and it's going to be a little bit of a wait and see. I mean, the prognosis is good. The problem is the prognosis is just longer now.
Hmm. Well, I mean, that definitely puts Seattle in a much better position to win the West.
As Cap says with a slight grin on his face.
That's right, I do. But again, you cannot underestimate the Rams, though. Because they're going to be healthy.
Brock Purdy's not the starting quarterback, though.
Yeah.
He's not.
No, I know. I know.
You know, so Trey Lance is going to go. So,
but Trey Lance, I'm sorry, but they
no. But did San Francisco create a certain system for quarterbacks that this is the model for success? Period.
Well,
Brock Purdy was third string, and then they had to bring another guy up. And Purdy got hurt, and the fourth string he got hurt, and then Purdy had to come back injured. He couldn't throw the ball, but he still went out and played. You know, that's what I liked about the kid. You know, it's like, hey, I got no business being out here. I'm hurt. I'm injured. But guess what? I'm here. And, you know, you got to respect
him. But that's also one of the bad things about a kid like that, that says that sort of stuff. And then they never play again at a certain level because they did this. From the injury. So, yeah, there's a reason why people protect million-dollar players, but he wasn't really getting paid that much, so they could allow him to do that. But a normal player in normal circumstances that was getting paid $15, $20 million to be a quarterback doing that, no way.
Well, hey, I'm looking at the Falcons' schedule here. And, again, they've got it well matched. I mean, look, I think it's open season, really, for just about any team. Meaning, if you want it, you have an avenue to get to the playoffs. You just have to, you know, you have to want it, and you have to go get it. But there is an avenue, even for New Orleans, there is an avenue to get into the playoffs. You know, I mean, some of these divisions are weak enough, and they're very, you know, competitive. Like, look, last year, Tampa Bay got into the playoffs by one game. Everybody else had the same record. And my brother was telling me about it. My other brother, X, there was a guy predicted, and he showed how you could get every single team in the NFL could come away with 10 wins, be 10-7. Now, I mean, what would you do? I mean, you'd have to go by points scored or whatever to figure out who won the division. That would be something fun where every team ended up with 10 wins. But, I mean, I don't know if that'll ever happen. I mean, in a division, you can get the same, but that's different. Not the entire, you know. League. Well, again, you know, I mean, it's you know, it's anybody's game. If you want to go out and get it, you know, just because you're Green Bay and you lost Rodgers and all this, well, you still got Love. So Green Bay's really not that far away. I think a change of quarterback and
if you really look at Green Bay history, and he said Favre was there. Aaron Rodgers was on the bench for a while, and then it was the handing over the baton, Rodgers to Love, the same handing over? I don't think so. Yeah, this Green Bay team is in disarray, and people don't want to talk about it. And I don't think Love's ready, or he was never going to be that great of a quarterback in the NFL series.
Well, he wasn't that bad when he played, I didn't think.
Well, I think Love has improved. The couple times I did watch the Packers, and Rodgers did have to go out for whatever reason. Love has played better over the last couple of years. I mean, it's hard for us to say he's not ready because he hasn't taken the helm as the guy. And so being in that position as the guy, like Doc said, the front man for the team, okay, that's a lot different than coming in as a substitute teacher and throwing the ball at garbage time. So we're going to find out this year. I'm not going to say that he's not ready because I don't know. But we're going to find out this year. I mean, personally.
So, what has he got, like 3 or 4 years practice kind of in a way, right?
Yeah, and as much as I hate to say it because the captain's going to get bothered by this, but Geno Smith was understudy for 8 years. Look what he's finally able to do.
Right.
You know, not everyone turned out.
Well,
he lost his job
from the Jets because he was supposed to be this big guy. And he's, you know, first round draft pick, and he had a couple of good games, but they were playing subpar teams. And by the second year, they said, no, we can't go any further. They should have benched him season one, but season two benched him, and he's been a backup ever since. But,
that could be a coaching issue, though.
Job.
We talked about that.
Right? That could
be a coaching issue, you know?
Well, he's getting paid $50 million a year this year, so he better produce something. That's all I'm saying.
I think in Green Bay, Jordan Love is going to get a period.
What was that, Viper?
I think Green Bay, the question isn't, I don't think if they fail, the hot seat is going to be on Jordan Love. I think most people understand coming into that role it's going to take some learning curve. The hot seat is going to be Matt LaFleur. That's where the hot seat's going to be because you didn't get it done with Rodgers. If you've had Jordan Love and you haven't developed him, well, now you're going to get exposed. Your coaching is going to start to get exposed.
Yep.
And
yep.
Rodgers could cover for you because he was great. But now you're talking about, okay, well, I personally think the shorter leash is going to be on LaFleur versus Jordan Love.
Well, it all depends. If Green Bay's winning, then they both keep their job. But,
if it starts to fail, LaFleur is going to have the hotter seat than Love.
Right, exactly. He'll be the first to go. And, you know, he'll go find another job somewhere else.
And again, it still boils down to they are the front man for the team. So, yeah, they're going to be the first to go, which is, I don't know, take it how you want. I mean, again, the coaching. So if coaching doesn't work, but your easy throw under the bus is your front man, your quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just see how many they go through, because if they go through, you know, let's say two quarterbacks minimum, obviously, one, then no, there's a coaching issue because, you know, like you said, Viper, if Rodgers was there, he had that skill and he was making things happen, and now all of a sudden nothing's happening and they go through 1, 2, 3, 12 quarterbacks, you know, relatively speaking, No, it's a coaching issue. It's not a staffing issue. Excuse me.
Yeah, it's either personnel or coaching, and personally, I think Jordan Love's going to get a longer leash.
Yes. And I would agree.
Well, you almost have to. You know, because if you're going to develop a quarterback, I mean, you can't fire a quarterback in one season. Well, that's what they did with Tim Tebow. No. Well, you know, I'm not sticking up for Tim Tebow. But, you know, I mean, he did win, and he did beat the mighty Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs. Say whatever you want.
On that same point, didn't Kansas City do the same thing with Mahomes?
Yes.
You found a quarterback just almost instantly. He dropped in their lap, and
Sometimes that happens, but sometimes you ruin a guy because you didn't teach him, and you didn't train him, you didn't teach him, so when he doesn't succeed, oh, you fire him. Well, it was you. It wasn't him. I'm not sticking up for Tebow. I'm just making a point that,
it
is all coaching. And look what the Cleveland Browns, for God's sakes, how many first-round draft picks did they get with quarterbacks? I mean, they went through 1,000 quarterbacks, and they don't know how to – they don't know what to do with them. Now, I'm not saying Baker Mayfield, he turned out to be a flake, but what if he had a coach that, it made him knuckle down? Maybe Mayfield could have been something. You don't know. Now he's a booze hound. You know, he's a drunk. sports is funny because, I mean, but look at Tom Brady, drafted in the last sixth or seventh round, and what part of the Hall of Fame is he going into?
First ballot, right.
Exactly. Now, look, there's always going to be somebody that is going to say, no, you don't deserve first ballot. And in baseball, Mariano Rivera is the only Major League Baseball player that went completely unanimous. Now, and some of these guys, how do you vote against, say what you want about Derek Jeter. You may not like him personally or whatever, but, I mean, 3,200 hits or whatever, got, five rings on his finger, and you're going to say no? He doesn't get into the Hall of Fame? Come on.
Yeah, right.
Somebody is going to say Brady doesn't deserve first ballot. Well, let me ask you guys this. If Brady does not get in first ballot Hall of Fame, what would that be? If you were to vote against him, what would be your reasoning of why you wouldn't put him in first ballot? Exactly. No one can come up with anything. What would be the argument?
To think that.
So, I don't know. It's weird. It's strange. Well, again, there's a lot of teams that have Cincinnati. You've got to succeed. You've been coming up there for all these years. Buffalo, you've got to get that monkey off your back. Miami, you got a big monkey. New England, you've got a huge monkey on your back.
New England is a monkey.
Minnesota, look. of course, Kansas City, they're going to be up there, but, can Kansas City come back and win again? I don't know. And a lot of people are comparing the Brady era with, the Mahomes era. Well, they're showing that Mahomes right now is a little, tiny little bit like above when Brady had as many rings or whatever. Well, Brady, I think the reason why is Brady was able to last longer. I don't see Mahomes lasting near as long as Mahomes, he does get injured. Well, Brady was injured once, and that was it. He was out for a whole season, and that was it. you know, he never got anything again.
And I think a lot of that also has to do with the amount of respect that front line had for Brady. They would do anything and everything to protect him. Whereas I'm not discrediting Mahomes on any of his ability, but I don't think he commands that respect the way Brady did when he was with the Patriots. So I think that's why Mahomes does end up getting injured a little bit more. I mean, maybe there's a little tiff back in the locker room. I mean, with
Mahomes
in the front
line. Mahomes is a little more free. He plays backyard football. Yeah. He'll improvise crazy. But Brady goes by the script, and he goes by the plan. He's going to complete the mission. You know, like in the Navy, your PMS card, Doc. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, God.
You got the card, and
oh,
you got to follow that.
I don't miss
step.
Those.
Yeah.
I do not miss those.
Hey, I like them. Write that myself. I write this stuff down because you don't miss anything. You step by step. You don't miss anything. And that was Brady. It was a different style. It doesn't mean one's more effective than the other. It just means a different style. Now, Brady couldn't play like that.
I agree. And, you know, like I was saying, I think that was the thing was with Brady, he had that respect. Both of them, I mean, honestly, like you said, Mahomes is on par with Brady.
Yeah.
Well, Mahomes is on step for step with Brady. I mean, as far as, like, you know, achievement in, like, the actual ability and skill level, you know, accuracy, the way he can read the field the way Brady did. But I think that's the problem also is he doesn't have that respect from his front line the way Brady did with the Patriots and then when he went off to Florida. So therein, I think, is like that nice little personality quirk, I guess, would be the best way to say it. Does that make sense? My words sometimes don't come out right. It sounded right in my head.
But, I mean, hey, look, again, time will only tell. I mean, if you know, who's to say that, you know, even though he gets injured a couple of games when he comes back and, you know, I mean, who really knows? I mean, but.
Well, I think that's really what I love about sports. You know, it doesn't matter what the game is, football, basketball, volleyball, hockey, whatever it is. There's lots of ways to win a game. There's lots of ways to be successful. There's not one way. And the thing that boggles my mind, and it goes to the Anthony Richardson pick for the Colts, for some reason we're all hung up on this Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, you know, running quarterbacks fiction that really hasn't proven to have Lamar Jackson, you know. And when you talk about Brady versus Mahomes, okay, I view them like guitar players. Like Jimi Hendrix was not a technical guitar player, but he had a creative flair and style that he could create great guitar playing versus a Stevie Ray Vaughan who is just technically perfect. That guy is perfect. And
yeah,
I think of Brady and Mahomes very similar. They both win effectively. But they do it in different ways. Brady's playing chess. He's like, okay, the play's not here. I'm going to follow Sun Tzu. I'm going to throw the ball to the sideline. We're going to regroup. We're going to get the next play. Mahomes is going to extend the play and try to find some hole or some improvisation and make something out of nothing. Both are admirable in my opinion. Most people like the Mahomes style, making something out of it. It's good entertainment.
I like the
Brady style personally. Yeah, it's flashy. I like the Brady style. It says, hey, if it ain't there, I'm going to stop this play before something stupid happens. We're going to regroup, and we're going to move the ball to the next play. I love that style. It's very cerebral, and it's very intelligent. And, you know, that's what's great about sports is you can win more than one way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, running quarterbacks like you were talking about, is, you know, like Russell Wilson, when he ran out of necessity, not because he wanted to be, you know, and that's why it was effective. Mahomes does the same thing. He runs out of necessity.
Yeah.
And when you've got a quarterback that only runs when it's necessary versus like your Lamar Jackson, you know, Hurts and whatnot, well, your longevity is not going to be there, and teams are going to be able to figure you out. Kyler Murray tried that in Arizona. Well, where is he now? And it's only a matter of time. Jackson got paid, and he's going to – come on.
You know, Michael Vick is a good example, having that good with the dog fighting thing. The best guy I ever saw at it, and he didn't last long, going way back to the Eagles was Randall Cunningham. That guy could run and throw.
That's what ruined his career. And he didn't last very long. What, about 4 or 5 years, something like that. And, you know, that running game is – that's not the quarterback's job. That's why you have running backs.
It's risky.
Running back. You know, and we'll look at Brady. Brady very seldom ran. You know, and look what he did. He very seldom ran. But, well, and look what happened with the guy that looks like Prince Harry. I'm terrible with names. Oh, my God. Carson Wentz. That's what happened to him. Don't you remember?
I got to pause for a second. That was the most beautiful, like, instantaneous analogy. He looks like Prince Harry. No, Carson Wentz.
I've never heard
didn't
that.
Didn't miss
but
a beat.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Because
I never would have gotten that.
I mean,
sorry, that just gave me a chuckle. I had to pause.
he does. He looks. But he got hurt by running, and he made the score. He ruined his career. Yeah, he won the game. Hey, great. But now we got Foles, who's the back. He's gonna get on his finger. Going to the Colts, and then now you're unemployed. So.
Yeah.
Well, it's a different game now. I mean, even coaches are encouraging it. They're doing it in college. And I really do believe, I think the college coaching, I think, is much more important for the NFL than the NFL coaches. Because how can you train somebody in the NFL if they've already been, you know, detrained, meaning to do whatever they want. It's very difficult.
No, and I get that. I mean, honestly, I'm not a U of M fan. I'm a go MSU, go Sparty. But I think with Harbaugh coaching at U of M, I think because he was in the big show, so to say, his coaching style, he's still NFL at heart because he was there, he's done it. And I think the way he's coaching that team, I think that really does help those players, you know, if they do, you know, choose to go into the draft and this and that. And it helps those players out.
Well, it's like minor league baseball. I mean, they've got these pitchers now. Oh, God, he pitched 5 innings. Oh, the poor guy. Oh, God. Oh, get him in the jacuzzi, just rub his arm down, give him a massage, and oh, my God, the poor kid. He threw 5 innings. I mean, you know, Nolan Ryan would throw, like, 250 pitches, get smacked in the face with a, you know, a line drive, and still finish the game and go into extras. And you know,
right.
Can't do more than 5 innings. Get the hell out of here. Shut up.
Nobody ain't got that anymore.
Well, it's training. It's the way they're coaching it. You know, you don't want the kids offended because they get offended. Well, then they won't play. And if they don't play, then we don't win. And then, oh, we're going to lose money. Whip his ass if he doesn't play. I'm sorry, but I mean, I'm too old school. Again, I can't go into the 21st century. I'm not there yet. I can't
make it. Neither can I.
They just... Yeah. Oh, man.
Kip, you never should enter the 21st, trust me.
I can't do it. I just don't. My body doesn't. It rejects the 21st century. I'm still in 1999. You know, unbelievable. Well, you know, I'm trying to. Oh man. Well, what are you gonna do? So, well, how much time we got? We got 20 minutes. Boy, this show has gone quick. Well, of course, we got a lot of guests on board here, but. Anybody hockey fans?
Yo.
Yeah.
I know Viper is, but Jets fan, what is your name? So we don't have to keep calling you Jets fan.
It's like the full name is Louis Tenor, but just call me Lou. That's fine.
Oh, Lou, okay.
I like it. Lou.
We'll call you Lou. I mean, Jets fan, we're calling this guy. Hey, Jets fan. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But my Kraken in Seattle, they're down 3-2 against Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be playing now. So we'll find out what's going on there. Viper.
Yeah, it's tied 1-1. Tied 1-1 in the first still, yep.
Ooh.
Lou, now are you, you do live in New York. You're on the East Coast, right?
Correct.
Oh, okay. But you're like upstate New York?
No. New Jersey, actually. But nobody gives New Jersey credit for anything.
Oh, okay.
We consider ourselves in New York, New Jersey area. But anyway,
right,
Jersey,
yeah.
What's that, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm here on Long Island. I do love Atlantic City, though. Oh, man, I love Atlantic City. There are very pretty
away.
Areas on the way to Atlantic City. Jersey can be very pretty.
Yeah.
Very.
Yes, it could. Yeah, 2 hours south of here.
So you're about, what, an hour away from the stadium?
45 minutes on a good day. On a bad day, you think about 3.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
a bad
that's,
day in
New
York.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
That's New Jersey,
you know,
yeah.
And I don't blame you for saying that you're from New York instead of New Jersey, from what I've heard.
Right. Well, my show serves the New York area. Well, actually, we serve the whole country, but we call ourselves like the New York, New Jersey area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now that looks like a nice stadium in Seattle. I think my nephews went there. They caught a couple of Kraken games, but I remember the Kingdome. That was, I mean, what a dump! But it was our dump. It was our barn, and it was a mess. But we loved it. And man, I saw some great games, man, historical games. Seattle came back, Yeah, they beat the Angels. They were down. They were down 12 games in August.
Oh yeah,
and they come back and they take over the Angels. I was there in the Kingdome, and we got first place, and we go into the playoffs. Oh man! And then when Ken Griffey Jr. slid into home, we beat the mighty New York Yankees. Both me and my brother, we jumped up, and it was kind of a low ceiling. In the house that we were living in, and both. Yes, man. Oh, those are good old days, man.
Right.
Yep, 95.
I saw that.
Well, and I'm really glad you brought up hockey, guys, because I wanted to carve out about 45 seconds to add this in. Gary Bettman is a complete and utter piece of crap. He's a cheater.
No kidding.
And I'll tell you why. When I saw the odds of the draft lottery, now the NHL has, similar to, I believe, the NBA now, they've got a draft lottery to try and prevent teams from tanking on purpose. And so they have percentages of, allegedly, like a ping pong ball or whatever. They have the percentages of, hey, the worst team has the highest percentage, you get the top pick. Well, about 3 weeks before the draft order actually came out, I looked at the lineup and I said, I bet $100 Gary Bettman's going to find a way to get the Chicago Blackhawks, who were third best percentage, to get them the number one pick. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened.
You idiot.
The Chicago Blackhawks end up with the number one pick. They're in rebuild mode. Gary, and I had this pegged from the get-go that Gary Bettman's going to try and rebuild them through the draft, just like he's done so many times with the big market teams, and the Anaheim Ducks get screwed over. So I'm done. End of rant. Gary Bettman, you suck. I read an article today that there's several GMs have anonymously said the same thing. They are suspecting that the NHL lottery draft is rigged. So not just me.
Well,
end of rant.
How I've always thought about to do it, what I think the NFL should do, instead of rewarding the last two or three or four place teams, no, you get the last picks of the first round. You want to get a higher pick? Well, then win. You don't know. Screw that. No, you got to, if you want to win, well, then you got to build your team. And, you know, you got to have a little competition. But I understand that some teams can afford more than others. Okay, so I understand where they're trying to come from with that. But when you're gutting teams, and like what the Viper was saying, and we've seen it in football, where teams will tank. Hey, Seattle Kraken just scored. Okay, but they tank on purpose to get a better draft pick, and that is wrong. Because they get the first-round draft pick, and what do? It's a quarterback, and then they ruin him, and he's out of the league in 2 years. Screw that.
Right.
You know, you want a better pick? Well, then win. Don't come in last place. The other team come in last place. You know, at least try, you know. So, well, again, now I'm on a rant. So, well, go crack. But, you know, anybody wants to rant, that's what the show's about. Let it out. Well, good for Seattle. They need this win. They have to win tonight to force a game seven, and they're in Seattle. Yep. So.
In Seattle.
Well, you know,
we neglected to discuss Dan Snyder is finally out in Washington.
Yeah, we did talk a little bit about that. I don't like that group. Again, I'm old school. I don't like having groups buy it. But, I mean, here's what I'd like to know. $6.05 billion? I'm sorry, but the Washington Commodores are not worth over $6 billion. And last year, which beat the record, the Broncos were bought for $4.65 billion. The Broncos are not worth over $4 billion.
No.
I don't get these numbers, man. $6 billion for – and the Washington team, you don't get that big of a fan base. I mean, you kind of do, but you kind of don't. You get fair weather fans there in D.C., unless maybe they plan to move the team. But, I mean, $6 billion?
No, you're not going to move the team for that much money. What you're doing is you're paying for the name. You're paying for the stadium that you can use for, I don't know, maybe put a bid in for next year's Olympics or, you know, whatever. That's what you're paying for. Not the team at that point.
Well, it's not that big of a market, and you know, but it's a conglomerate, so there's about 1,000 different businesses that are all, and different billionaires and millionaires that are all involved in it. So everybody probably put in like $20, and we'll get together like in the office. Everybody puts in a couple of bucks, and they go out and buy a million lottery tickets. I mean, good God.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's that team is. Right now, a mess. I mean, who do they have? What do they have? I mean, who's their coach, Viper?
I'm sorry, what?
The coach for Washington. Who's their coach?
Well, it's Ron Rivera, right?
I don't know.
Ron Rivera, isn't it?
I think so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the team last
year,
though, having all of the adversarial things that was going wrong and going on with the team, I mean, say what you want, but the guys went out and they weren't the best team, but they at least went out and tried to compete. They tried. You know, they weren't laying down. They're just not a very good team.
Well, they've got a decent defense, yeah, and you know they did. Ron Rivera does a pretty good job motivating, I have to admit, but no, they're not a bad team, and they clearly got better in a very improved division last year.
Well, you know that division is kind of tough. So, well, it all depends
on the thing
Giants.
The thing that's interesting, though, is that this is going to be the first year in a while that Patrick Mahomes won't have Eric Bieniemy as the OC. He's going to be in Washington with Rivera. That's going to be interesting.
Now, do you think that will affect the Chiefs' offensive game, or do you think they're pretty much still like an autopilot? They already know what to do.
I think Bieniemy, while he was the OC, I think he had a lot of influence from Andy Reid. Andy Reid has traditionally been the offensive side of the ball, and I don't think the Chiefs are going to miss a beat. They're just going
right.
It's going to be under Andy Reid's direction ultimately. But yeah, it should be pretty interesting what Eric Bieniemy can do in Washington, and you know maybe that combination of Rivera, who is a defensive guru, teamed up with Bieniemy on the offensive side of the ball. That could be a really good combination for that franchise.
Well, win a little bit. Hey, look, they got three Super Bowls, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And they were the first team to have a black quarterback win the Super Bowl.
Doug Williams, I remember it.
And
Doug Williams.
Their first head coach
was Timmy Smith in the counter tray running. Yeah.
Huh. Well, I mean the Redskins. I mean you had what's his name? Broke his leg.
Theismann.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did Theismann? Did they win a Super Bowl with him? I don't think so.
Yeah. They won two.
Yeah.
And with the Raiders in the certain Super Bowl, when they kicked their butt, it was amazing.
Yeah, well, we got about 5 minutes here, guys. No, this show went by pretty good. We missed anything? What did we miss?
Well, maybe we have to talk about the Buffalo Bills punter next week.
Oh,
that's an interesting developing story.
Now they're finding out he wasn't even there. He wasn't even in the state. Well, why didn't that information come out 2 years ago? Now you ruined this guy's career.
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
Yep.
Well, why
probably
didn't
need
that
to talk
come
about
out?
That one next week.
We should have talked about that. I should have wrote that down. Yeah, that you know, but I mean, and how come that didn't come out 2 years ago that he wasn't even in like the state or something like that? He wasn't even anywhere near, and
he wasn't on campus when it happened. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess he's a hell of a punter. I mean, he was drafted pretty early, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Pretty early for a kicker. I don't know what round it was. What was it, second or third?
What's that?
What was it, Lou?
I think he was third round.
Third round. Yeah, for a kicker or a punter. I think he's a punter. Well,
punter. Yep.
How is that? I mean, did Buffalo, is the contract null and void? Is he still employed by Buffalo? Does Buffalo have the rights to him? Is he a free agent? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
He was cut, so technically he's open season. It's just a question of whether someone's going to give him a chance. And the thing is, before everyone freaks out, is, you know what, this guy – this happened when he was 21. He's 22 right now. And the whole thing is centered around an alleged 17-year-old who was at the school, San Diego State University.
We shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Well, no, she's a student there.
Oh, I thought you said she was underage and didn't go there. Oh, okay.
No, there are a lot of girls that a lot of guys too. A lot of people that graduate, they're still 17. They're attending school in the fall, and you know they're still technically not even 18. It happens all the time, and it's the whole story is just ludicrous. And this guy's career is ruined by an allegation that was false. And
well,
it's ridiculous.
Is he eligible to play?
I don't know what his status is with the NFL. I just know he was cut immediately by the Bills. I think that means he's able to go to any team that would have him.
Well, that shows the character of these teams, where you're just going to let an allegation be guilt. There's no trial. No gathering of information. Shame on the Bills for that.
Now, that's the integrity of the team. I mean, honestly, if they thought that he had something to offer, they would have said, no, we got your back. Here's our lawyers. Here's this. Here's that. That's a bunch of malarkey, I guess, would be the best way I could say it.
Well, you know, I know we only got about a minute here, but excuse me. But a lot of these teams, and there is unfortunate pressure, and they don't want to look like they're. But then you've got a guy who, you know, you've got video of him beating the crap out of his girlfriend in an elevator, and he gets a couple of games suspension, and they don't say nothing. But this guy wasn't even anywhere near around, and now we ruin his career.
Not just his career, but the whole rest of his life. I mean,
right.
He's going to go with that stigma wherever he goes. Oh, you're the guy who raped. No, that's right. No.
Yeah. Hey guys, don't forget that I have a show too before you on Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. So if you get a chance, look for it. The Enhanced Sports Show. And remember, we're on YouTube. So dial in the YouTube and dial in the Enhanced Sports Show.
Well, thank you very much. And yeah, I did listen to. We only got about 30 seconds. And no, you're good, man. And we'll have to. Yeah, like what we were talking about. Well, anyway, Doc, thank you very much for calling in. It's been a long time. Seth, thank you, my good friend. Viper, as always, thank you. And Lou, thank you very much. We had a great show. And Chris, if you're probably not listening, thank you for that. And we'll see you back here next week, Saturday night, 6 p.m. Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.